The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we are back on a whole new edition of Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. You know the usual suspects, Rob and Chris. I know these guys got a busy, busy March ahead of us. By the way, if you did not know, it's March. It's been a really long time since we had a March that we could be proud of. Let's keep this shit going, right? We got some stuff in the All Elite Wrestling to talk about. They got a pay-per-view coming up this weekend. They also had a big person come through last night, and another big person says that another big person is coming over to All Elite. So we'll have to get into all of that. We also got to give flowers to Jim Crockett Jr., who passed away yesterday. Immensely powerful name in the world of wrestling is Jim Crockett. So we're going to talk about that as well. We also got some stuff that happened on Twitter Monday night because Randy gets really fucking baked or drunk and decides to tweet. So we'll talk about all of that. But let's start with the biggest news in wrestling this week. The biggest news in wrestling this week. And that is the absolute annihilation of The Miz by the new WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. I want to say Lashley debuted in the year that we're watching right now, 2005. So later on this year, mm-hmm. We're going to watch Lashley's debut on SmackDown. He lasted less than 2 years in his first run before leaving. And it took more than 10 years before he stepped back foot in the WWE ring. I know a lot of people over the last couple years have been wondering, when in the hell is Bobby Lashley going to ascend to being a top star in WWE? And then he squashed the hell out of Miz.
Yeah, I mean, this was a long time coming for him. I think it definitely justifies booking him as the behemoth that they have for the last couple of months. I think contrary to what some thought, I thought they did everything pretty well. I know that people were unsatisfied or whatever with the bait and switches, but that was Miz being a cowardly heel. That was them trying to hook the audience along, and to their credit, it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
They retained the audience, and it came together well because Miz has been, a shit heel. He was in a lumberjack match. They had him go down that way. Lashley should have squashed him based on his booking the last couple of months, and they pretty much hit it out of the park as best as they could, I think, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, it was the right decision. We all agreed, obviously, Miz wasn't going to hold the title for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we all agreed that it should have happened on that night and not at like Fastlane or anything like that.
Exactly. So, and yeah, I don't have a problem with, pushing it back and Miz, continually getting out of it. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it kept everyone. It actually, the past couple of weeks they've done it, it's kind of made Raw feel like their stakes for later on in the night, which is nice and refreshing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's cool that Lashley won. It's overdue. We'll see it over the next couple of years that he probably should have a run in his first time there. And yeah.
I think he was going to, because remind me again, what was the number one reason why he decided to leave? Was it just because he wanted to try his hand and something else?
Yeah, I don't know if it was because
he wanted to do the Brock thing or not. But
I think, yeah, because he was like, I'm getting older. I think. Let me see. Well, no, because then he went to TNA.
He was young as hell. And he didn't go to TNA until much later.
Mm-hmm. Until 2000, he showed up in 2009. In TNA.
Yeah, it looks like they just kind of released him, and then he went to Triple Mania later that year, and then the next year went to TNA. So he didn't even, I don't know if he started the MMA stuff.
I think he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then while he was hurt, they may have released him or whatever. So.
And then he was doing MMA while in TNA because he faced Bob Sapp and had a couple Strike Force matches.
Yeah, number of Strike Force matches. It's wild when you think. You know, there's a lot of people who have been watching wrestling since that Ruthless Aggression era who remember Bobby Lashley, who remembers the huge, as much as we hate Donald Trump now, the huge match where he was representing Trump against Umaga, who was representing McMahon. And, you know, for him to finally get that nod, you know, politics aside, I think it's great. Bobby has been great for the last couple of years, sans the whole stuff with, I almost called her Emma for a second, Lana, who also congratulated him and credited him for keeping her spark for the business alive. You know, behind the stage, you obviously never know just how close these people are until moments like this happen. And you get to see the joy that they have for, you know, everything that they've done for each other. Being in this business is it's a very tight knit business. And for Bobby, the historical element of it, he is the third Black WWE champion, the third African American WWE champion. There's The Rock, there's Kofi, and there's Bobby Lashley. And then when you want to expand it to World Heavyweight Champions, WCW champions, Ron Simmons, Mark Henry. And I believe that's it.
Booker Keeps.
I thought I said Booker. Didn't? Okay. That's right, because Booker wasn't WWE champion.
Yeah, because you said Ron Simmons and...
No, my dumb ass thought Booker had a WWE championship run.
I'm
stupid. So that's it. That is it. And hopefully there are plenty more, but when you think about... just the history of the WWE Championship, like that is the title in the business. No matter what you want to say about the big gold belt, you know, you're remembered if you're WWE champion, and Bobby can call himself that. And I think it's fucking great. And what he and the Hurt Business are doing. I know some people have tried to do the whole Evolution, which please stop, please fucking stop. But they've been fucking awesome. And another shout out, and I think. Really deserves the biggest shout out outside of Bobby and all of this is MVP. Because when MVP steps foot in that door, January 2020, he changed the careers of so many people, not just Bobby, but Shelton. Shelton was doing nothing, languishing until he got with MVP and with Bobby. Cedric was just a white meat baby face until he got with MVP, Bobby, and Shelton. You know, there's other guys that MVP just through affiliation have been elevated. I think Drew really got elevated when he had his little run-ins with MVP and Bobby in the early runs of his championship days. He's just been amazing in this second run, and I think it just underscores how valuable. And which, by the way, RIP to the IWGP Intercontinental Championship belt. But he was the first one in that. He has been everywhere.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has had a significant role in WWE television over the past 15 months, and now he's gotten not only Bobby to the top of the mountain, but then you got Shelton and Cedric right there next to him, and he's there with the fucking cane. It's wonderful, man. I'm so happy for MVP. I'm so happy for all four of them. It's well deserved.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's been those four and Drew really carrying Raw for most 100%. Of the year.
Asuka.
And Asuka.
Yeah, and 100%. Asuka. So yeah, it's cool to see. You know, it's a lot of people are like, oh, well, is this just to get Drew a moment at WrestleMania? Maybe it is, but you don't have to think that far ahead right now. I mean, just enjoy it.
No, and we honestly still don't know who he's going to be facing. We do not know. It could be Drew, and if it is Drew, it's a great decision because they wanted so badly to coronate Drew last year, and they weren't able to because of COVID. This could be an opportunity to get that pop for Drew. But I think a lot of people are still holding out hope that somehow, some way, they can find a way to get Brock in from Canada, and we can finally put to bed the Lashley calling out Bob Brock shit. We can finally put that to bed, and we ain't got Bobby calling out Brock. We got Brock coming in saying, hey, you got my title. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
I will say one thing. It's sort of unrelated, but sort of related. What Bobby winning the WWE title made me further realize after seeing those pictures of all of them together. God knows they need to upgrade those tag belts because they are horrible. They are
For 11 fucking years.
Yeah, the men's tag titles have been the worst titles in the company for well over a decade now.
I remember the decision to go bronze and being like, what the fuck is this shit? It's so goddamn ugly.
Yeah, they
it's
went
time.
They went from pennies to nickels. And you know what the other thing is? They don't have any identity besides the brands because they don't even have side plates for those titles.
Yeah.
Every other title has side plates. Those don't. It's embarrassing.
Intercontinental and US titles have side plates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Custom side plates? Bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I was just reading that Riddle got Stallion ones the other day.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that those had side plates either, but
yeah, they do. They do. All the new ones have side plates, and then those crappy ones don't have anything. So they need to upgrade those. Don't need that. All they had to do was just upgrade them when they introduced the women's tag titles. That's it. But they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, well, and you would think they would. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, but yeah, congratulations to Bobby. We will see. We got over a month till WrestleMania, so we'll see what comes of his first WWE Championship reign. But I hope it's not the last, because I think that, you know, given the reaction on Monday, there's a lot of people that want to see Bobby Lashley with that belt. You know, dead all the noise about him being boring. He's never been hotter, so run with it. And by the way, if they do Bobby versus Drew at WrestleMania, look no further than Slammiversary 2016.
Yes.
If you want an impact match to watch, that is the impact match to watch. Absolutely incredible.
To be fair, Impact's social media team is probably going to be on that like crazy. They're on it. They're on everything.
Yeah, it's great.
Whoever runs their social media needs a raise and then some, because they're always on top of things. Mm-hmm. Like, they posted all of Lashley's title wins in TNA right after he won the WWE title the other night.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff.
Which also I found ironic because his first title win had MVP at ringside with crutches on.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was cool. Yeah, that's right. Go from crutches to the cane. It was awesome. let's flip sides to the competition. All Elite Wrestling had a major star on their airwaves last night to kick off the show. None other than Shaq Diesel. 24 hours removed from getting waxed off the fucking set by Candace Parker. Shaq showed up in Jacksonville in a tag match with the incomparable Jade Cargill, taking on Cody Rhodes. And Red Velvet, who is Wes Briscoe's girl. So, cool. Yeah, Shaq was bumping. He did a powerbomb, the Brody Lee powerbomb, which I can guarantee he had no fucking clue who Brody Lee was while he was doing that powerbomb. But it's okay. It's okay, because,
yeah,
you know, it's Shaq paying tribute to Brody Lee. I'm pretty sure Brody would fucking mark. He took a table bump. Cody put him through a table, and they did the whole Taker thing when Tony Schiavone looks in the ambulance. He's supposed to be driven off, and Shaq's not there. But guess what? Shaq's okay, you guys. G- Because he was on Inside the NBA tonight. Kind of had to be because A, it's All-Star Weekend, and B, they're promoting a documentary that starts tonight. So, kayfabe be damned.
That's true. I was going to say he didn't have to be. They could have just replaced him with someone who's actually good. But if they're doing a documentary, then yeah, I guess he should be there.
They had Dwayne there. I don't know who Dwayne was replacing. Yeah, no, kayfabe be damned. But you know what? That was a really entertaining match. Not even for the stunt with you. I was sports entertained.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with the celebrity involvement is all I really want is for them to take it seriously and act like they care. And I mean, to your WWE and AEW's credit, that's been the case for most of the past, you know, however many celebrity matches we've seen, which is nice. Like, what's the last celebrity match where the straight up didn't care? Yeah. I mean, Gronk dived in when he was there. Yeah. Stephen Amell was very good.
Yeah.
So I mean,
times Stephen Amell's done matches, he's been pretty good, and like, you know, it's different when you're a fan, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Like we see with Bad Bunny, how willing and excited he was to go off the top rope. Like, if you're a fan of this shit, it you know, you get opportunity to make a moment that, you know, otherwise you would never be able to make because you're in a whole different field. And for Shaq, we know how much he's been angling to do this match with Big Show. He finally gets to this. Oh, I don't know. Shaq shall be 50 next year, right? He'll be 50 next year. So this is an opportunity to take a bump and like, hey, maybe I won't have to worry about a fucked up back tomorrow. Yeah. So let's just get it over with. I think Shaq went into it as a great sport. All four of them looked really good. That moonsault that Red Velvet did to the outside was crazy. And then Jade came off as a fucking star. Mm-hmm. Somebody that AEW can build that women's division around. Which, by the way, I watched more women's wrestling on AEW in the past 7 days than I have, period.
It's been very good. They've done a really good job with the tournament.
Yeah. I think they've done really well with the tournament. I was shocked that Nyla was the one to come out victorious on the US side, and she's not even getting the match with Shida. It's going to be Ryu, which we'll talk about Revolution in just a bit. But yeah, I think the women's wrestling in AEW is getting better, which is great for all the shit that we've been giving it. But Shaq was amazing. If you haven't watched that match, go and watch that match. It was really good. Now let's transition into this Sunday's Revolution pay-per-view, which is kind of weird that they're sticking to the Sunday date, knowing that All-Star Weekend is happening, knowing that the All-Star Game is going to happen Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, because what they have, like, 6 weeks or so to change it. I mean, because once it was like, oh, the NBA is thinking of doing the All-Star Game, you could have just been like, yeah, the NBA is doing it. But I mean,
even with the partnership that they obviously have with TNT and whatnot, what's the Venn diagram of people who are watching the All-Star Game and people who would watch this?
That's true. I just think people.
I don't know, but I do think it's like it's still going to take eyes off of the product.
I agree.
Like, if you're a wrestling fan and a basketball fan, and you have to choose between the two, you know you're choosing the All-Star Game.
Also, if you're going to run, like, you know, a four-hour show, it's better to do it on a Saturday, I think. People are getting used to, well, AEW fans are used to the long shows on Saturday, yeah, and then WWE fans that are watching are used to, you know, two-hour shows on Sunday now. So, I don't know if I want to say it's a risk, but you are looking at probably finishing at, like, 11:30 or so Eastern on a work night.
Yeah,
but they have their loyalists, so I mean they're gonna watch. So no. they don't care.
It's also one of their biggest pay per view cards ever, I think, just in terms of number of matches.
It's massively stupid.
Yeah,
massively stupid. We should talk about it. We should definitely talk about it. First match on the maybe not be the first match on the card, but. First match we're going to talk about, tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. It is the champions, the Young Bucks, taking on Chris Jericho and MJF. Wardlow will be at ringside. Hey, fuck it. Give Jericho a title reign. I know we don't like Jericho in these parts. He's a COVID truther. But clearly they're not going to get rid of him. And clearly they got to start building towards an AEW Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Jericho seems like he's going to be the first one. Yeah, I, whatever. This is only the Bucks' first title reign, I think. So they can afford some more.
Yeah. Yeah, you can give it to Jericho. I mean, if I had to guess, you know, his contract's up at the end of this year, you could just give him the tag titles and have, you know, MJF turn on him and have him put MJF over on his way to retirement, I guess. That would be something if you wanted to run that angle. Or, I mean, Jericho might also decide to re-up and wrestle 5 more years, which I guess,
he signed whatever. A 5-year contract, right? 5 or 3?
I know it's up at the end of this year, so it had to just be 3.
Okay.
And I don't think he's re-upped. Yeah. So
you know, I would be interested to see, because, I mean, if you're AEW, you obviously have to make any push that you can to keep Jericho. I would be shocked if WWE still finds value in him, just because, like, you know, Vince is a petty motherfucker. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. I still believe, like, give Jericho as much accolades as you can now while you still have him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Moving on now, I think the answer to who's winning this match is very easy. It's going to be a street fight between Team Taz, Brian Cage, and Ricky Starks taking on the team of Darby Allin, and his tag team partner for the first time in almost 6 years, 5.5 years, Sting, is wrestling in AEW. We all know that Sting and... Or do we? Remember when we all thought Sting was going to beat Triple H at WrestleMania?
Well, we should have known better.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we should have known that Triple H is not going to lose on his fucking show to goddamn Steve Borden. No. But I do think that, like, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks are not the talent that should be losing to Sting. I don't care.
Oh, and I mean, Ricky Starks is very good. He's probably going to be a top guy in AEW at some point. But yeah, no, if Sting loses to Brian Cage, it's terrible.
Agreed.
Absolutely not. He could, if it was, you know, Starks and Hobbs, I would say maybe, because those are guys you can get over. But Brian Cage sucks. And he's 37. So yeah.
You're 36! Do you not like big beefy men who bump meats?
I just don't like Brian Cage.
Cage has never done anything for me. It's unfortunate. We're going through this card. 6 out of the 8 guys I just don't care about. Sting, I'm indifferent about. And Ricky Starks is cool.
What about Taz?
I really don't give a fuck about Darby Allin.
Sure. If we include Taz in here, obviously Taz is awesome. So
yeah.
There's two people I like, with Starks and Taz. I'm contractually obligated to root for Ricky Starks. So
yeah, it's fair.
I'm contractually obligated. Is he like Bailey's sister, brother?
It's your best friend, man.
Yeah, best friend.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like 10, no, I guess.
Well, because anyway. Ricky Starks, yeah.
Yeah, because Ricky Starks was friends with, it was probably still friends with Aaron Solo, so.
Ooh, that might be weird.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Oh god, I'm shocked nobody shot their shot at Bailey yet.
I'm not touching that with a 50-foot pole.
Or would no. Anyway, Hikaru Shida will defend her AEW Women's Championship against Rio Mizunami. Rio has had time in Shimmer, Big Japan Pro Wrestling, most known for her time in Pro Wrestling Wave. So she has a name in Japan. Has been wrestling there since 2004, but she has not really been a big face here in the States. I don't know, because this is obviously, you know, I hadn't seen Rio until Sunday when she won the Japanese side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like you don't bring somebody over from Japan just to wrestle one match. So this is an intriguing one.
Yeah, and it, you know, do you really want to do this whole tournament and then have the person lose? I guess you can.
You can,
but
there's nothing wrong with that.
She does awesome enough to wear.
Like, well, yeah, lose. And that's the other thing is that, yeah, she does very good. So I think I'm going to go Shida, but you know, having the winner of the whole tournament win the belt isn't a bad idea either, obviously.
It's not a bad idea, obviously. I think this is a good situation for all involved here. I think that this is a I think like I'm gonna echo what you guys said about the women's tournament and the women's wrestling in AEW. I think it's definitely improving in terms of the matches that have been utilized here. All the tournament matches varied from good to great to awesome. I think you know, Nyla's matches were all really, really good. Mm-hmm. I think Rio's had some good matches as well.
Yeah, Serena Deep match.
Yeah, and the match against Yuka Sakazaki was also really good. Venny versus Emi Sakura was also really, really good as well. Mm. Obviously, Thunder Rosa, anything that she does, I'm very intrigued and interested in. And this is a good opportunity for them, I think, to have Rio be put over to a bigger audience. Even if she loses, I think she can still gain something from this. And they obviously had put her over huge by having her beat Nyla, because rarely does anybody beat Nyla. I'm pretty sure she has one of the better win-loss records in the entire company for the women. So,
yeah,
I think Shida wins here, though. I like you said, it makes it intriguing to have someone from Japan come all the way over just to lose or whatever. But I still think that the longer play is maybe Britt down the line, but that obviously needs to formulate on itself.
Yeah.
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 Going on now to the face of the Revolution ladder match. Winner gets a future AEW TNT championship match. Cody Rhodes is in this because Cody is not going for a AEW title anytime soon. Scorpio Sky, Penta, Lance Archer, whoever the fuck Max Caster is, and a to-be-announced wrestler. Do not know who that to-be-announced wrestler will be. I noticed Pac isn't... Oh, Pac is on the show. Never mind. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if it's someone new coming in, I guess it could be like Ethan Page, which...
No, I thought he was signing with the... I thought he was signing with the Fed.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. He's a guy that's out there.
Yeah.
Ethan Page would be a really good hand for AEW. Not that I wouldn't want to see him in NXT, but I think Ethan Page would be a really good hand for AEW.
Yeah. I think it's going to be someone who's not in the company, right? Maybe it's Chris Hero. That'd be fun. I mean, or... Well, we'll get would to that. Be, we'll get
be,
to that.
Would it be fun if Chris Hero was in a ladder match in 2021, though?
No, probably not. Yeah. But yeah, I do think whoever the TBA guy is going to win, it's like they did at Double or Nothing with Brian Cage.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be TBA as well.
It could be Lance Archer. I mean, he's been, you know, heated up lately, but...
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness here, I don't really have that much knowledge of the AEW mid-card, so I'm just going to go with TBA because it feels like it's... Yeah. It's a good guess.
No, that's fair. Sure.
Also, I'm glad that we ignored the Matt Hardy pay-per-view match in 2021.
No, yeah. It's really dumb what they're doing with Adam Page, because he was in, you know, their first ever title match, and now he's just kind of an afterthought. Yeah. But, you know, they're exempt.
Oh, well, He wants to be with his friends, though. Man could be making millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Winning NXT championships, possibly an Intercontinental championship. Like, he's good. But get him the fuck away from his friends. Listen, man, like, this is just some life advice for you, okay? Because, like, nothing's more important than your family. I get it. Your family holds you down. But you also have to understand that sometimes you gotta be yourself on your fucking own. And you got to make it on your own. Sometimes your family got to understand that you got to make it on your own. And guess what? If they don't support you in your endeavors, they ain't your family. Adam Page chose to stick with his family, and that's noble, that's cool. But I don't want to hear any, oh, Adam Page he's not in the spot that he needs to be. AEW needs to do right by him. No, Adam Page should have done right by Adam Page. And doing right by Adam Page would have been signing with the Fed.
You're also not going to hear that because AEW is exempt from that. But whatever, you know. But yeah, no, I don't get why he's working Matt Hardy. I mean, I get it. I've watched the story. It's stupid.
Yeah. We're not talking about that fuck ass match. The last match we are going to talk about, though, exploding barbed wire death match for the AEW World Championship. Jon Moxley challenging the champ Kenny Omega. Death matches don't really do shit for me.
Yeah.
This is why, like, I'm not really too much of a fan of Nick Gage. People go crazy. Indie fans go crazy when Nick Gage does a death match. He was Nick Gage and Joey Janela a couple years ago, and I watched that. I'm just like, this is fucking mid.
Yeah.
This is really mid. But, you know, this is quote-unquote Jon Moxley's alley. Hopefully Kenny brings something to the table. I'm interested to see what they got going. Keith Richard, I really don't give a fuck about Kenny as the champion. So if he flipped it back to Moxley, would not be mad at it. I think it would be a great choice to flip back to Moxley.
I think it'd be good. I think he's probably also going to be going home for a time.
Damn that child. There. Listen, the kid has bad vibes. They ain't out the fucking womb yet and he has bad vibes.
Yeah. But yeah, so it'll probably stay with Kenny. I don't know. I mean, it's like, even if this match is bad, there's going to be, I guess, cool explosions. That's fun. I mean, it'll be a spectacle. I mean, I
don't know if I can comfortably watch this match in 2021. I don't want to sound like a total soft, but I mean,
yeah,
just, I don't know. Like Pierce said, they don't really, death matches do nothing.
Well, you know what the thing is, we're gonna talk about a match in a little bit where Shawn Michaels like almost bleeds out on television. Yeah, I mean, and that was,
but Shawn did that by on his own fucking doing because he bladed
that too. That too.
that man has never met a blade job that he hasn't gone like that's full throat with.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think Kenny's gonna win and then maybe go into a title feud immediately with whoever Paul White's big surprise is, I guess.
That'd be interesting. Speaking of Paul White's big surprise, Paul White made his first appearance on AEW television this past Wednesday, and he said, I have a Hall of Fame surprise coming over this Sunday. And I think immediately the internet's thoughts went to CM Punk. I mean, Rob kind of helped with that, but Rob's an asshole. I genuinely, just because I don't think Punk's coming back to wrestle. I'm set in that. I've honestly never been more secure in the fact that I don't think CM Punk's gonna wrestle again. Would it be cool if he showed up in AEW? Yeah. But you know, I'm very curious as to who that Hall of Fame talent is.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, you want to talk about the guys that would be legitimately stunning, game changing, then it would be like Brock Lesnar. But I would be more surprised than I've been by anything ever in wrestling. And I know it's just, you know, as simple as he's just taking money from a different rich guy to work, you know, four matches a year or whatever. And I get that. I just don't see it. Someone I think said John Cena.
By the way, Punk was like, use hashtag axe Punk. And no, it's not me. So he could be trolling, but.
Yeah, he replied to somebody by saying that he thinks that they should focus on their own talent instead of him possibly working there.
That could just be him working the gimmick, though, and you know,
he could have a little bit of bluster. But do you really think that he would? I can't see it.
I can't see it.
If it didn't happen when he got under the Fox WWE banner, why would it happen now during a pandemic?
Money talks, man.
Yeah, but why would it happen now?
He has no source of income and a comic book hobby. So
yeah, no source of income. Yeah, I'm sure he's really pinching for pennies.
It would be interesting if it is Punk, right? Because Colt Cabana works there.
That's another thing.
So I don't know if he'd necessarily be receptive to that. But I mean, Hall of Fame talent is vague enough where you get people talking, but also vague enough where you have some wiggle room, because it could be like Mick Foley and everyone would be like, oh, yeah, okay.
There's a death match on the card.
But also with how much it's been hyped up, it almost has to be like,
not necessarily, because remember when Tony Khan said there was a game changing thing that happening on Dynamite, and it was just Pac?
That's true.
When everyone knew Pac was coming back anyway.
That's true.
They always do this. Yeah. I think the situation where, unfortunately, I think they're destined to fail in some regard because it's not going to meet everyone's expectations, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I mean, Christian's a name that's been thrown around a lot today, along with CM Punk. That would be fine. I would like
to see Christian back. I just don't see Christian leaving when Edge just came back, though. Unless he's gotten a cold no from the Federation, mm-hmm. which I don't see happening, then I don't think it's going to be Christian.
Yeah, because that'd be weird if they, because I assume they would have to clear him for the Rumble, obviously.
Yeah, and exactly.
Suddenly he's not cleared anymore, or, you know, they don't want him to work week to week. But I mean, there's a place for Christian in the feud right now. He could be on TV tomorrow night on SmackDown, and it would make sense. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be cool because it's obviously a big announcement. Whether or not it's as big as we think it is or not, I guess remains to be seen. But I'm excited. I'm kind of tired of talking about it already because it's only been 24 hours and every possible person has been suggested. But, you know.
Yeah, no, we'll just wait. We will just wait and see who AEW pulls out of their hat. And, hey, AEW is very interesting right now. I think it's worthy of watching week in, week out. We'll see if they'll soon be the only dog on Wednesday. And, you know, the room, we'll talk about it deeper eventually, but the rumor is NXT is going to Tuesday, which if you pay attention to sports rights, you know that USA is getting the NHL package from the soon-to-be-defunct NBCSN. So playoffs are coming very soon, eventually, and they're going to need some time on USA to kick NXT off. So this is kind of always in the works. But on the point of AEW, you know, it's growing and it's getting much and much bigger. It's worth paying attention to, even if you're not going to watch it on the regular. I would implore you guys to do so, most definitely. Let's go on now to, where are we going now? We're going to pay homage to the one and only Jim Crockett Jr., who passed away yesterday. Crockett is extremely influential in the wrestling business. He took over Jim Crockett Promotions from his father. He was not at all going to be a part of the wrestling business. It wasn't until his father died when he just stepped up and took over the business and was really influential, signing guys like Wahoo McDaniel, veterans like Wahoo McDaniel, and young up-and-comers like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, and it was really a major, major focal point of the territory industry. I think when you think of the territory days of professional wrestling, if the first person you don't think of is Vince McMahon, Senior or Junior, the second one's going to be Jim Crockett Jr. And very beloved figure in professional wrestling, was the president of the National Wrestling Alliance for a time. He's definitely going to be missed by a lot of people within the wrestling industry. And you could say him selling Jim Crockett to Ted Turner in 88 was a major swing in professional wrestling, because if Jim Crockett doesn't sell to Ted Turner, we don't have the Monday Night Wars. Yeah, really big loss for professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the NWA in the 80s was probably neck and neck with the WWF for most of it, if not, you know, on a higher level. And, you know, that wouldn't have been possible without him.
It's wonderful analysis. I remember he was the guy who ended up selling Vince McMahon. Oh, sorry. Remember Vince McMahon got his TBS deal. And that was a whole major thing, because it was WWE finally infiltrating the South, and you could watch WWE and Jim Crockett Promotions. And then Jim Crockett Promotions ended up buying out Vince's time slot, which he used to then start WrestleMania. So it's little things like that Crockett had an influence in the business, not just within his own company, not just within NWA, not just with the future with WCW, but the competition as well. So completely missed. I hope that eventually NWA brings back the Crockett Cup. That would be really, they need a tag team tournament. I know that they did one in NWA last year, but I mean, like, nothing's gonna stop AEW from doing their own Crockett Cup. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's move on now Before we get to Soulja Boy and Randy, did you guys catch Big E's 24?
I saw a lot of bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen it in full yet, but it's good. It looks good. Like, the rest of it looked good. I'm a big fan of the 24s. And, you know, shout out to Big E in general for his project of the past few weeks he's been tweeting about with his VR museum thing that he's doing. I think that's really cool.
No, I haven't even seen the VR museum, but E has been great over the last year. Not just in ring, but the activism he's been doing out of it. It was a really good 24. You're going to pick up the backside of you know, how a tour came to be in amateur wrestling and football. They delve a little bit deeper into his time in the Big Ten. And if you didn't love the guy already, you're going to absolutely love him after this 24. It was really good. Now, Randy Orton decided that, or I didn't even notice the trend until afterwards, because you're just like, oh, it's just Randy being Randy. But no, after Monday nights, every week, Randy is fucking hammered into the wee hours of the morning and tweeting. And he caught wind of a Soulja Boy tweet when he was like, the rap game faker than WWE. Which, I mean, like, okay, he's 100% right.
Yeah, that's also not, that's actually a compliment to WWE, yeah, the way it's written, which is the really funny part.
It 100% is. But, you know, wrestling people do that thing where if you call them fake, we have to, you know, just attack. And you had a Randy tweeting wild shit. You had Alexa chiming into it, and then Soulja Boy had to get on his ass like, nah, yeah, you know who I am. I'm the motherfucker whose dance you're doing in this video.
Well, and the fuck Alexa one's here, funny. The Alexa one's funny because she is 1 year older than me, so we were in high school at the exact same time.
She was being sarcastic. Well, I mean, look at the hashtag.
Yeah, no. You know who that is, even in Ohio.
Listen, of course she does. She's a white girl.
Yeah.
She was obviously being sarcastic. She's a white suburban girl. I was around.
Dude, listen, I never think white women are being sarcastic, because white women mainly are the double.
That's fair. You know, she's from white suburbia. Of course, she was probably drunkenly doing the Soulja Boy crank that dance.
She knows just the like words I saw people do it through the phone. Okay,
just like I saw people do it at all the freaking parties that I was at.
Exactly.
I know she was being sarcastic.
Oh my god, Mizzou was probably fucking annoying when Pretty Boy Swag came out. God.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Randy doing it is one thing, because like, he's very drunk on Monday nights. It's clear. Okay. I don't, everyone else piling on is kind of stupid. I guess Alexa doing it is because she's in a storyline with Randy.
Correct.
Whatever. You
know how these wrestlers go. They always try to chase clout. I mean, what happened with...
And Cardi B tweeted about them.
Exactly.
They did the Rock Toronto thing, pretty much.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's trying to come in and work. I guess he could. No. But Bow Wow's apparently doing that. So, that was fun, too. You know...
Dog, if we ever get Bad Bunny, Bow Wow, and Soulja Boy on the same WrestleMania card, that's crazy. That is crazy.
It's fun. I mean, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you don't need to pick fights with every B-list celebrity who says something. You know, why don't you guys organize for healthcare or something? Which is a good point. But also, it's a lot easier to get upset about things that don't matter.
But also, like, this is harmless fun.
Yeah.
This isn't the women's locker room getting, you know, in their feelings about a freaking meme list. Like,
yeah,
this is just them having harmless fun. They look like losers because they're wrestlers. I mean, that is what it is.
And speaking of the women's locker room, not to get too off subject, but they are doing a top 50 greatest women superstars of all time on the WWE Network.
God, I hope that's chronological, because otherwise it's going to be a freaking war zone.
How do you have... Okay, I'm not even going to do that one. I'm just like, what? Okay. Let's talk about 2005. Last week, we talked about the iconic segment with Batista giving the thumbs up, thumbs down to Triple H. He is challenging the game for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. We also saw John Cena get the upper hand on Orlando Jordan and JBL. Let's just go into this week. I'm going to be honest with you. I skipped most of SmackDown because I saw the matches that were on the card. I asked myself, does this matter? Okay.
Yeah, SmackDown was not very good.
No, it was not.
What was what it was. Before we get started here, just a quick little zoom into things that were happening in February.
Let's talk about the last time Illinois was the number one seed. Let's go!
Well, we'll get there when we get there, because their first game that week was on Thursday. Actually, worth noting.
Fuck, is this the Ohio State week? Fuck!
Yes, but I'm not going to talk about that. Because it technically happened on Sunday. We can save that pain for next week. But this is the last week that Let Me Love You by Mario was the number one song in America on the Billboard Hot 100. And I say that because of a song that was charting very heavily and got all the way up to number two this week. That being Candy Shop by 50 Cent. Went up from eight to number two and will overtake Let Me Love You next week. So that song's about to be...
Candy Shop definitely was number one at a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Candy Shop's about to be...
Low-key, I thought you were going to come out with goodies, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. you know why that's important to me.
Yes. Well, actually, Ciara is in the top five right now because of 1-2-Step. That's right. Number four.
I'm thinking of 1-2-Step, because goodies was last year, and that was number one.
Yeah.
1-2-Step is high, but it doesn't get to number.
Correct. Its peak was at number two. But yeah, so Candy Shop's about to be the number one song in the country from the week of March 5th all the way through the week of April 30th. So get ready for that to remain there. Another song that broke into the top 10 was Rich Girl by Gwen Stefani and Eve.
Yeah,
it was Rich Girl. No. I mean, it was easily like one of the weaker songs on that album.
Yeah.
Which I love that album. So good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, there weren't too many other big movers. No real significant news in the world of sports. This is obviously the down period of the calendar, especially with no NHL going on because of the lockout. But John Chaney, who of course unfortunately passed away recently on February 28th, 2005, the day of Monday Night Raw, Temple University announced that he will not coach in the A-10 tournament, stemming from an incident during a game against St. Joe's. There's a rivalry there between St. Joe's and Temple, of course, all the big five schools. Chaney responded to the non-calling of illegal screens by Hawks players by sending in their center to commit hard fouls on John Bryant.
I forgot about that. That's right. And didn't he like defend it in the post game too?
I'm fairly certain he did, yes.
Yeah. Well, you do what you got to do, man.
I mean, and goons, man. Every sport got to have the goons.
Yeah. That's what we're missing in basketball now.
Honestly, we are missing a Charles Oakley type, dog. Like, you need dudes like Oak who are just going to put you on your ass. We don't have that anymore, man. But also, I'm also sounding very Shaq-like. Like, hey, why don't they play defense? Why don't they play man? Well, I got all these rings, Candace. I do too, motherfucker. All right, yeah. No.
Also, right before we dive into Raw, just want to talk about the top five movies in the country. Number five was Man of the House. Number four
was
in
Man of the House.
Yeah, who was in Man of the House?
These are some really shitty movies. No, keep going. The fourth movie sounds shitty. That just tells me, oh, Man of the House is probably worse. Go ahead.
The number four movie was Cursed. That was a werewolf body horror film directed by Wes Craven with Christina Ricci and Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, God. Wow. See, like, you say Christina Ricci, and I'm like, maybe, but... No, it was definitely some gratuitous nudity in that, because if there's anything Christina Ricci gonna do, it shows some titty. Yeah.
Number three was Constantine.
Mm. Wow, yeah. I forgot Constantine came out around this time. I've never seen Constantine, too.
Number two was Hitch.
That's right. Hitch did come out early. I think it came out like Valentine's weekend, actually.
Indeed.
Number one, not Be Cool.
Number one was Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Oh, wow. That's, fucking hate that movie. Anyway.
Yeah, it grossed over 21 million, actually, apparently.
Wow. That was the first time that Tyler Perry branched out from plays to movies and
massive
fucking success. That was a massive fucking success. I remember when it came out and like the buzz it had. My mom had the DVD, so I didn't watch it until months later. But still an awful movie. fucking Shamar Moore, man.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rob, we have some news from a house show that I went to.
Yeah, we had Vince McMahon in his wheelchair at the Madison Square Garden house show. I guess probably nice for him to get out of the house. And no word on who really he met with, except, you know, was with his family. Didn't show in front of the crowd, obviously. And he's itching to get back to work. And then our one other news piece, Matt Hardy took down pictures of Lita from his personal website last week when asked by visitors why. He wrote, I asked Kirby to temporarily take all pictures of Amy off the website. If you happen to run into Amy in an appearance, I think you should ask her why her pictures have been taken down, which is not the way to handle this, and a good precursor to the next 6 months.
Yeah, Matt was a sad boy. And listen, Matt Hardy is one of the earliest examples. Do not broadcast your L's in public.
Yeah, no. And we can get into Raw.
We can. From Providence, Rhode Island. Dunk.
Dunk, yes.
Dunk. Triple H was there to begin the night. He wanted to know if anyone in the arena thinks that he's actually afraid of Batista. He says that he's not, because he's the game and he's the best in the business, and that's not just a catchphrase. It's a fact. But now suddenly Batista's the guy. He says that he's a child. He says he's Batista's father, and he will slap him down and beat some sense into him, teaching him a lesson he will never forget.
And then Hurricane comes out.
Big corporal punishment guy there, huh?
Yeah. Hurricane comes out, and they were supposed to have a match, and Triple H pedigrees him onto the ramp. Says that once Batista gets here, he's going to beat him within an inch of his life, and because he's that damn good. The father part was funny, because you know Ric Flair was supposed to be Batista's father, right? That was...
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was the original plan. Kind of like an tie-in with Evolution.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
We open the evening with Chris Benoit against Muhammad Hassan. Daivari gives Hassan the ring bell after a ref bump, and then Hassan doesn't put it where he needs to when Benoit does the diving headbutt, so he clearly misses it, and they have to do a quick low blow finish with disqualification. I mean, that wasn't good. No, it was an okay match up till then, but... But it's also clear that, like, Benoit doesn't want to lose clean to him, and, like, why not? You're trying to get a top heel over. Why not lose? You're Chris Benoit. You're going to be fine. I mean, for a couple more years. But Hulk Hogan's going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
That's a shame.
Writing's been on the wall for that past few weeks, and here we are. Batista arrived. Coach tells him what Triple H said, and Batista said that when he sees Triple H, he's going to thank him for unleashing the animal.
And Flair told Triple H that they should go take Batista out. However, Triple H says that he has a better idea, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And we get Shelton Benjamin versus Snitsky for the Intercontinental title. The third time is the charm, apparently, for this match. If Shelton gets DQ'd, he has no championship advantage, so he will lose the Intercontinental Championship. Snitsky went for a chair shot. Shelton ducked and kicked it away from him and then hit the two T-bone suplex for the win, and now we are done with this.
Yes.
Thankfully. Then we were doing, I actually remember this going into it. They were hyping a big announcement for WrestleMania all day and all throughout the first part of the show. That announcement is that Rowdy Roddy Piper is doing Piper's Pit at WrestleMania 21 with special guest Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, so a couple returns to the company there in addition to Hogan that night.
They brought Austin back into the fold a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Saying that he was going to be around for Mania, and this is the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Chris Masters here facing John Walters, former Ring of Honor Pure Champion and one of Undertaker's Druids at, I can't say that word.
Druids.
At WrestleMania 20. And Masters wins with the Master Lock.
Stewie ruined.
It's not Master Lock Challenge time yet, though.
No, not yet.
JR is interviewing Batista in the ring. Batista said he decided to stay on Raw because every time he did something successful, he had to hear about Triple H. So now he's going to do something about it because it's all about the game and how you play it. Last week, the game got played. Batista didn't have any second thoughts because it's been his plan since the Rumble. At WrestleMania, he becomes the man. Then Flair and Triple H come out. They enter the ring from opposite sides. Batista takes Flair out, and then Triple H backs down. Then he picks up Flair into Spinebuster, and Triple H jumps up and then backs down again. And then Batista picks up Flair and hits a Batista bomb, and Triple H jumps up and then back down.
So his plan is to make Ric Flair the sacrificial lamb.
Well, yes, because then we find out that Flair is facing Batista next week, one-on-one.
Yes.
So, yeah, good point. Get the point across.
Indeed.
I liked it.
And then we get Chris Jericho taking on Maven. Jericho won with the Walls of Jericho. And afterwards has an announcement himself. He says that he's excited about WrestleMania and everyone wants to make an impact and be part of history. And he has an idea for a match that will do that, involving himself, five other superstars, chance of a lifetime, and a ladder.
Ooh.
It's interesting. Intriguing.
Yeah. Then we get the John Cena JBL parody of A Few Good Men, which honestly might be the best one of these.
It's so good.
They are both very good.
It's so good. Cena got his acting chops on early
here. Yes. Christy reveals her Playboy cover in the ring. Trish comes out and spray paints over the word champion on the cover because Christy's not technically a champion, which is correct. And then she hits a chick kick and spray paints the word slut on the back of Christy's dress.
This is still 2005.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Then backstage, we have superstar Billy Graham, who's with Stacy Keibler. Randy Orton came up and said that it's been great having him around. Graham was in last year's Hall of Fame induction. And so he was around last year at Mania.
Yeah, was he at the Garden too?
Yes.
That they were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was there. He talked about how he saw him, you know, pin the hardcore legend Mick Foley last year at Mania and suggests that he do something big for WrestleMania this year. And as it turns out, that's exactly what he has in mind as he puts down a cover, the newest edition of SmackDown Magazine with The Undertaker on the cover.
Yeah.
Woo. I actually remember being extremely hyped about this for the record because I remember one of the earlier rumors that I had read in my first, you know, swath into the internet wrestling community and whatnot was that Randy Orton was going to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then I saw this happen. I'm like, oh, crap. They were right.
Yeah. There you go, man.
Yeah. And then we get an interview with Edge with Maria. He's still mad for being overlooked for Shawn Michaels all the time and hopes to finally take care of business tonight, even though Michaels is too busy focusing on Kurt Angle instead of him.
Yeah. And then we go to the street fight and they are in street clothes. So it's fun. They come out and start brawling right away. Michaels takes off his belt and starts whipping Edge with it. And hits him with a trash can lid or a trash can. Then Edge hits him with the lid. Edge DDT Sean onto a chair and Sean is bleeding quite a bit. Edge goes onto the top rope and Michaels throws a ladder at him. And then Edge sets up the ladder in the corner and does a drop to hold onto it, onto Sean. He goes for one man concerto, but Sean hits a low blow. Edge goes for the spear, but he runs into Sweet Chin Music for the victory, and Sean gets the victory. I don't know. I mean, Edge probably should have won, but
I mean, faces win feuds.
Then Kurt Angle comes out in his business casual attire and attacks Shawn Michaels and accepts his challenge for WrestleMania.
He does.
Did he have to fuck up the pantsuit? Like, damn.
Yeah.
He talked about it. He had to, like, on his podcast in the episode about the Michaels match, he basically had to replace them, like, right away.
Yeah, because there was no salvaging his...
Yeah.
Which I don't know why he wore that in the first place, mm-hmm. instead of just wearing, like, a t-shirt.
I don't know.
But, you know. Also, you shouldn't get someone else's blood all over you.
No, that's really disgusting. Was not only right all over you, but like right all over your face and like your eye. Like, it looks like war paint. It's not really okay.
That'll become a problem later in the year, too.
Yes, it will.
Yes, that was Raw.
That was Raw. So, moving on in the world of sports, going into Thursday, nothing really happening. Like I said, this is kind of a dry period. There weren't many, for whatever reason, as I was looking through like most of the like top 15 or 20 teams on KenPom, not a lot of games on that Tuesday, March 1st, for whatever rhyme or reason. But there were three big games on that Thursday. Illinois defeated Purdue 84-50 on senior night to improve to 29-0 and 15-0 in the Big Ten. Purdue was horrible that year, for the record. They were 7-21. Jesus. I didn't actually know that they were like that bad at one point. I always thought they'd been pretty solid.
No, they were pretty bad for a while.
Good Lord.
Before
Matt,
they...
Matt Painter really turned that program around.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, North Carolina beat Florida State 91-76 to move to 25-3 on the season. Duke beat Miami 83-59 on senior night at Cameron Indoor. So they whooped the Hurricanes, who actually were pretty decent. They were, well, decent, I guess, 16-13 that season. Louisville, who of course was running things in Conference USA that year, they beat Charlotte 94-82. Cardinals at this point are 25-4, bound to win Conference USA that year. Michigan State beat Northwestern on that Wednesday. Let's see if there's anything else. Wake Forest, they beat Georgia Tech 98-91. Kentucky beat Tennessee 73-61. Florida beat Georgia. Florida was pretty solid that year. Washington beat Cal, and UConn beat Georgetown on that Wednesday, 83-64.
There we go.
So we can now move on to SmackDown from Albany.
Yeah. John Cena comes out to open the show in a Lawrence Taylor Giants jersey, which a little surprising, I guess.
I've heard that there are a decent amount of Giants fans in upstate New York. So the Bills don't have full ownership up there. No, they actually apparently used to have training camp up in Albany.
Oh, okay.
So Cena was playing to the proper audience.
Cena said that he's sick of JBL like everyone else. JBL was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but Cena is a common man, used to be a fan. Yes, in
West Newbury, Massachusetts.
Yes, all that stuff. And at WrestleMania, the title comes back to the people.
I get what they were going for.
Yeah.
It's just that they're... Yeah, they played this right.
Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero put their WWE tag titles on the line against Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak. Eddie hits a frog splash on Luther, and Rey hits a 619 on Jindrak, and they retain. Then Luther and Jindrak push each other for a little bit, and Jindrak knocks him out with one punch, which will become his finisher for a couple months.
Yeah, it will.
Which got me really into thinking that Mark Jindrak was the guy.
Carlito came into Theodore Long's office, and Petty put him to work and asked him to shovel snow. And Carlito said that he's from the Caribbean. He doesn't know how to shovel snow, but Petty doesn't care. Then he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Then for whatever reason, we get Booker T versus Heidenreich. Booker T loses via disqualification after hitting Heidenreich with a DDT on a chair. I don't know.
It's going to keep going. It doesn't need to keep going. Kurt Angle's here. Feels good about what he did to Shawn Michaels on Raw. Says WrestleMania is going to be more of the same. He's tired of hearing about how great Shawn Michaels is. Someone comes out for the Kurt Angle Invitational, and he's in a hood. Angle thinks it's Shawn, so kind of starts cutting a promo on him. And the guy takes his hood down, and it's not Shawn. But then a cameraman standing behind Angle takes off his disguise, and that's Shawn Michaels. And he attacks Angle from behind. That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Good way to do it.
Good little bait and switch there.
And then Teddy Long says, you know, during the break, Sean, you got to leave. And Sean's like, well, that's fine. I'll get the rest of what I want at WrestleMania.
Indeed. And then for some reason, we get Dawn Marie and Renee Dupree against Michelle McCool in the Big Show.
For some reason, because Dawn Marie is tired of Michelle McCool, you know, having an attitude backstage. So they're going to settle it with the partners of their choice. And oh, Michelle makes a smart choice and picks Big Show instead of picking Renee Dupree. Yeah, I mean, Michelle and Big Show get the win. So
yeah, and then Carlito was shown shuffling, wasn't going well. Kind of a humorous segment.
Yeah. JBL comes out looking for answers as to why he's not being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Says that Cena ruined his party last week, and you know he's a wrestling god. Everyone should want to see him, and it's. The fans should be, you know, imitating him instead of trying to imitate Cena.
Ugh.
And
goes very racist here.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's a very racist promo.
Yeah.
As I was listening to him, I'm like, oh my God, what's next here? And then it just kept hitting the same.
Yeah. JBL said that he's leaving. And if Orlando Jordan loses, he will be sent back to the hood. You can't say that. That's not okay. Yeah, just not good. Chavo Guerrero is greeting Rey Mysterio, wants to know where Eddie Guerrero is, and Rey says he's in the shower. And Chavo tells Rey that Eddie's not really his friend. He's just keeping his friends close and enemies closer, and you should never trust a Guerrero.
Chavo being a shitster.
Yes.
But he is telling a little bit of truth here.
Yeah. Big Show and Joy Giovanni are celebrating Big Show's win earlier, and Funaki comes up and says everyone in Japan's talking about who would win between Big Show and Aki Bono. Big Show says anytime Aki Bono wants a match, he can have it. Sure.
And then we get our United States title match between John Cena and Orlando Jordan. This goes pretty long. Match kind of what it was what it was. It broke down. Bastions came out, provided a bit of a distraction, pulled Cena's attention away. He was able to fend them off. Jordan kind of lured him away. JBL came up and blasted him with the title. And then Jordan pinned him and won the United States title from John Cena,
which he will hold for 6 months.
Five.
Yeah, but five and a half. Longer than Orlando Jordan,
should be holding a title. Yeah,
but yes, Orlando Jordan's your United States champion now.
And we only have 1 more week left with the spinner belt.
Yeah, that's long live it. It for SmackDown.
Does that make him the King of the Ring?
I think he has to be.
Yeah, I guess by default. I mean, he's
by default.
This is technically the best run of his career, even if he's going to face like Heidenreich and I think Hardcore Holly and then lose to Benoit.
Like 23 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so fucking ugly. That's so fucking ugly. Anyway, yeah, we're going to get up out of here because Drake has some new shit dropping tonight. You can follow me at Cameron Santo, Rob's at RobinO'Neil31, Chris is at ChrisMNovak. We are eventually going to do a February edition of the Top 25. Life is kind of crazy right now, especially after today. So maybe we can sneak that in next weekend if we're able to.
Sounds like a plan.
We can get that off to you as soon as we can. I don't know what else to talk about. So I'll just say, subscribe to the Patreon. $10 will get you that top 25. It'll also get you summer sessions. We will be doing Milk Madness. Black History Month's over, so I can finally say, yes, we will be doing a Milk Madness 2021 bracket. So be on the lookout for that. I assume that's going to be on the Patreon edition because it's going to be too fucking wild to put on the regular feed. But if you do listen to our regular feed, please give us 5 stars, rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to us. Leave us a comment. It will help boost us up the algorithms. And then we can do more and try to produce more content for you because I guarantee you guys more content is coming. Everything continues to grow and so do we. That is it for us on Ruthless Aggression. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll recap AEW or if it was a dud, fuck it. We'll also talk more about what's going to happen coming up in a couple weeks. We got a Fastlane. Fastlane's coming up in a couple weeks, so we'll be diving a little bit deeper into the goings-on in Fastlane. Stick with us next week, man. Ruthless Aggression, we will be back. Take it easy.